Well, you might want to turn again to Luke chapter 12, page 994, and we're going to think about verses 22 to 31 particularly. I wonder if you are a worrier. I am something of a textbook worrier. I find that I worry about pretty much anything that's going to happen. The moment a new item is added to my calendar, immediately my brain starts worrying about it. I wonder if you're the same. It's something that as humans we seem to be good at doing. We think of everything that we have to do, particularly in the 21st century, the world can be quite an overwhelming place. We don't just have to worry about our own lives. We've got the TV to show us all these countries in the world where terrible things are happening. And so we can have the benefit of worrying about them as well. There's so much to worry about. So many things that always seem to be pressing upon us. Everything is always urgent and has to be dealt with right now. So there's worries here, there's worries there. A whole world of worry if we ever stop and let our minds think about it. And so what a great command then that we have in these verses from the Lord Jesus. Therefore I say to you, do not worry. Do not worry. What a great command. One that I think we all need to hear. So we're going to explore why Jesus tells us not to worry. Why, if we are his people, we don't need to worry. And we're going to think particularly about two things. We're going to think about what we don't need to worry about. And then we're going to think about why. What we don't need to worry about and why. So Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry about what? Well, the worries that Jesus talks about here seem to cover a range of things. There are the basics, like food. He says, don't worry about your life, what you will eat. Those are the bare necessities, if you like. The things that we need about your life. The things that keep you alive. And then perhaps the less basic things. Nor about the body, what you will put on. Clothes. We don't need clothes to survive. They're perhaps not the absolute fundamentals of life. But Jesus tells us not to worry about that as well. When Jesus talks about clothes, I don't think that he's just saying don't worry about the most essential things. We're not just to not worry about the things that we need to survive. You know, later he'll talk about the flowers and how the flowers look nice. The clothes, I think that's more than just a survival thing. That's more than just keeping you warm and keeping out the cold. Clothes are presentable. Clothes are an important part of human dignity, how we look to other people. Social interaction is so fundamental to who we are as humans, and clothes are a big part of that. So Jesus is saying, don't worry about clothes. It's a issue of appearances. It's an issue of respectability. Maybe it's more worrying about how you look rather than survival and keeping warm, for instance. So we've got the basics, the food, and the slightly less basic, all these things that Jesus tells us not to worry about. Your life, what you will eat, or your body, what you will put on. What are the things that you might worry about then? What are the different things that fall into these categories? Don't worry about your life, what you will eat. What are the most basic worries that we have as human beings? That we might not be able to put bread on the table. It's a very fundamental worry. That hits right to the heart of most people. Job security, salary, pension. This is something that we're almost always thinking about. Well, if I'm unemployed, well, how can I possibly support myself? How can I possibly support my family? We need the future to go the way that we would like in order for us to stay alive. Do you ever look at your bank balance and you think about all the bills that are coming on the horizon and you slightly wince? Don't worry about your body, what you will wear. That's the other half. The fundamentals, on the one hand, but your body, what you will wear. It's not just the basics. How do I look? How do others see me? Am I comfortable? And that's not just physical comfort. Perhaps financial comfort as well. To have reasonable clothes implies that you're doing okay, you're not just surviving. What about my children? Can I look after children? Will I have a good education? Or if you are a child or a young person, perhaps you're worrying about exams and about school and your future. There's always things to worry about, both on the survival level and on the level above that. The level where we need comfort and friends and more than just the things that keep us alive. And so the world, as we thought about, is full of things to worry about. Worries that we experience every day that are very real and that are in our face. And these are the things that Jesus tells us not to worry about. The two categories, the basic and the more than basic. God isn't just interested in the basic things of our lives. God doesn't just put us on earth so that we can stay alive on a protein drip. Life is more than that. Being human is more than that. Living in a way that glorifies God is more than that. There's both the your life, what you will eat, and your body, what you will wear. There's the basics that God cares about, and there's the more than basic that God cares about. So those are the two things that Jesus tells his disciples, do not worry about these things. So let's think about why. Just saying not to worry and not giving a reason wouldn't help anybody. You're probably aware of that. I'm not going to stop worrying about something just because someone says to me, don't worry about it, man. That's not particularly encouraging. That's not helpful. But Jesus doesn't just say, don't worry about it. He gives a few good reasons. He tells us not to worry about these things, and then he tells us why we don't need to worry about these things. So we've got a few reasons that we're going to think about. The first is this. Consider the ravens. This is what Jesus says in verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? So, Jesus is tackling these basic worries first. The survival level worries, worries about food, worries about perhaps basic finance that we might think about. If you're worried about keeping yourself alive, then take a moment and think about the ravens. Seems a bit mysterious, but this is what Jesus tells us to do. We spend a lot of our lives working hard and building things for the future. We're planting and sowing, so to speak. We're making sure that in the future we'll have food. If we were farmers, we would plant in one season so that we would have food later. We don't entirely do that today, but we like to make sure that we're thinking ahead. We perhaps think, well, you know, have I got my pension sorted out? Am I putting enough money into it? Do I have enough in my account that if I lost my job today, I would be able to survive a bit of time before I was able to get another job? We're always thinking about the future, thinking about planning. Am I going to be able to afford costs that will come up in the future? Perhaps further education costs, or perhaps if I'm looking to move house, am I going to be able to do this? We're always planning, we're always thinking ahead. But as Jesus points out, the ravens do none of that. They're birds. They don't worry about life. They don't have mortgages and pensions. And yet, God feeds them. Most animals tend to survive pretty well without worrying about it. And this doesn't just tell us that animals are better than us, because that's not true. This tells us that God is a good God who looks after his creation. And you are more valuable than the birds. Much more valuable. As a human being, you are made in God's image. A raven isn't made in God's image, and yet a raven doesn't go hungry. You're valuable to God. You have a soul. So maybe here's an idea. If you're worried about life, if you're worried about the basic things, finance, go watch some good nature documentaries and see how God provides for his creation. He gives all the animals what they need to stay alive. God provides for his creation in lots of awesome ways. And when you think of fish living in lakes, when it's winter time, fish that live in lakes that freeze over, right, Ian's going to call me up on this because he knows all about chemistry. But liquids, generally when liquids freeze, they condense, they get smaller, and they turn into a smaller solid than when they were liquid, and so they sink to the bottom. If a frozen bit of liquid sinks to the bottom. That's not the case with water. Water is different. When you freeze water, it floats to the top. And this means that if you're a fish living in a lake, and the lake freezes over, you can still stay alive, because you're under the water, and the frozen bit is all on top, and you're fine down below. Now, we might say that God has designed water in such a way that sea creatures and creatures that live in lakes can survive. Water is different to all other liquids, and because of this, fish can stay alive. See how good God is looking after his creation. Another example, perhaps, wildebeests. When they're born, here's an amazing fact, it takes less than 4 minutes for a wildebeest to be able to walk. God has made it so that they learn extremely fast, because they live on the move and they need to be able to run away from predators. If you were a wildebeest and you were born and you weren't able to get up and get out of there immediately, you'd be just picked off. But God has looked after his creation. And these are just animals. They're not as important as human beings. But Jesus tells us to think about how God looks after his creation. And to think about how much more important we are to God than these creatures. These creatures that all of nature is revolved around keeping alive. And yet we are so much more important. And so God is going to look after you. See that you don't need to worry about life, what you will eat. Because God cares for his creation, and you are much more valuable than the birds. So that's the first reason that you don't need to worry. Consider the ravens. Reason number two, consider the flowers. Consider the flowers. This is what Jesus says in verse 27 and 28. Consider the lilies. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? So this one is now about beyond the basics. This is to do with don't worry about your body, what you will put on. Look at the flowers. Look at how God has made them beautiful. God gives flowers the dignity of being attractive to us. Do you ever think about the fact that humans can appreciate that flowers look nice? Why should that be? Why does it matter that we can think that flowers are attractive, that they look nice, that they smell nice? Why should we find flowers pretty? It doesn't seem to help the flowers in any way. Bees need to find flowers appealing so that they go and pollinate the flowers. Other insects. But we don't pollinate flowers. We don't need to find them attractive. And yet, God clothes them with glory. Consider how the lilies grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet not even Solomon was arrayed like one of them. That's how God clothes the flowers. And you last a lot longer than a flower. God goes beyond meeting our bare minimum needs. Flowers don't need to look nice, but they look even nicer than Solomon ever did. God's provision is abundant. He gives us more than just food. He gives us more than just what we need to stay alive. Food tastes delicious. Here's another quirk. It doesn't have to. We could have just been made to live on vitamin pills. We still would have had to eat them because we need them to survive. And yet, food tastes delicious. God doesn't just give us things to sustain us. He gives us things that we can enjoy. God is an abundant God. He goes above just what we need. Clothes are a great example of this because they weren't even in the original design. Adam and Eve weren't created to wear clothes. But we have to wear clothes now out of necessity because of the fall. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were naked. And yet, even though it's a result of the fall, God gives us taste in clothes. We can use them to look nice. We appreciate good clothes. They become a blessing. This is the kind of God that God is. He's a generous God. We can trust him to look after us. Flowers are around for a season. And this is how generous God is to them, giving them prettier clothing than any humans. These are just flowers. They aren't the pinnacle of creation. They aren't immortal. But you, as a human being, as a child of God, are the pinnacle of creation. So how much more important to God are you than a flower? So why would you think that he's not going to be generous in how he cares for you? There's no need for worry. The whole of creation points to a maker who looks after what he has made and is abundant in his provision for it. Maybe this is why Jesus says here, "You of little faith." How silly does it seem to worry when God looks after the things that he's made? So, reasons not to worry. Consider the ravens. Consider the flowers. Reason number 3. Worrying will not achieve anything. Let's look at 25 and 26. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Now this is very simple, but it's very profound. We can't add a single centimeter to our height. We can't add a single second to our lives. These things are as true today as they were when Jesus said, "You cannot add a cubit to your length." God is in complete control of our lives. We might worry about our health. We can worry about that all we like. We might go to the doctor, you know, every week just to make sure that we're okay. And we can worry all that we like about the future, making sure that we've got things planned, making sure that we eat healthily. A lot of people have gone vegan recently. They think it's healthy and that it'll keep them young and mean that they live longer. But you can go vegan all you like, and you can wear what you like, and it won't give you an ounce more control over what's going to happen to you. God has ordained the days of your life. Nothing you do can change that. It's a very simple point. But you can't make yourself live longer. You can't make yourself taller or shorter. God has decided what is going to happen. And so there's no point worrying about the future, worrying about, can I make sure that I make this happen and so I will live longer, or I'll have a happier life, or I'll be more healthy. There's no real point worrying about that. Now, I'm not saying this takes away responsibility. Don't go out and just live on McDonald's from now on because, well, there's no point, I can't change it. There's a responsibility that comes with this. But ultimately, God is in control. We shouldn't worry about what's going to happen to us, about how long we're going to live, about the different things that happen in our life. We don't control them. God has ordained the world. So that's reason number 3. Reason number 3 is worrying will not achieve anything. So consider the ravens. Consider the flowers. Worrying won't achieve anything. And then, reason number 4. Your Father knows what you need. Verse 30. All these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. Now this is the first time in this chapter that Jesus calls God Father. God feeds the ravens, and God clothes the flowers of the field. The ravens and the flowers of the field do not call God Father. But your Father knows what you need. So not only is God the God who made you, but he also cares about you as his own child. If you're a child of God, you are more to God than just a part of his creation. As the person who made you, God knows what you need. He's not going to forget and accidentally let you die. Oops, I forgot that humans need food. That's not going to happen. God is the God who gives you every breath. He created your heart and he allows it to keep pumping blood. He knows what you need. He's not going to slip up and forget. And as your Father, he is caring and will generously give you what you need. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus draws on the image of human parents in order to show God's goodness to his children. He says, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? We needn't worry about whether God will be good to us or not, about whether he will give us good gifts. He gives us about whether he will give us what we need and more. He will. God is our Father, and God is good. He knows what we need, and he has an interest in giving it to us. As our Creator, he can keep us alive. And as our Father, he wants to, and he wants us to have what we need. If God is your Father, then you don't need to worry. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need to stay alive. God is powerful. So, consider the ravens, consider the flowers, consider that worrying won't achieve anything, and know that your Heavenly Father knows what you need. Fifthly then, there is more to life. There is more to life. In verse 22 we've got, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. And then in that last verse that we read, verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, therefore, that's how Jesus starts in verse 22, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. What's coming just before that Jesus says therefore about? What's this a consequence of? Well, it's that parable that we thought about last week in the children's talk. The parable of the rich fool, this man who stores up things for himself and then dies before he can enjoy them. This seems backwards, because the parable seems quite worrying. Seems like the kind of thing you should worry about. What's going to happen to you after you die? You're going to die. Therefore, do not worry. That's how Jesus continues. But the very reason we don't need to worry, far from death being a reason to worry, the reason we don't need to worry is that all of these things are fleeting. All of these things are part of this world, and they will pass away. They will not last. The placement of this passage right after the story of the rich fool gives a very clear message. Why worry about what will be gone when you die? There's more to life than the things that don't last. Why worry about things that you're only going to have for 70, 80, 90 years? There's much more important things to worry about than that. What is the more that there is to life? Your Father's kingdom. Seek the kingdom of God, and these things shall be added to you. We should focus on the primary, not on the incidental. You don't buy beans in order to have the tin. The tin is needed to hold the beans. But you seek the beans, and the tin is given to you as well. This is your Father's kingdom, and he will provide for you as you seek it. This world will not last. This is a fact of life that we all know. Everything in the world comes to an end. Ever since the fall, we are all mortal, and we live in a world that is passing. We can watch it pass before our very eyes. Things decay. People die. Why are we worried about food in the first place? Because without it, we pass away much sooner. And the things you own won't last long. Jesus gives examples. Thieves might steal what you own. Moths might eat all your clothes. All of life is a battle against loss and decay. How do we spend all our money and our time? On food, to keep ourselves alive. On houses, to keep our possessions safe. And it doesn't work. Everything still rots and dies. There are fires. Houses can burn down. People, when their houses are flooded and when their houses are burned down, you sometimes see them on the news being interviewed. And what do they say? They say, we've lost everything. We've lost everything. Their entire lives tied up with the contents of their house. If you're tied up in the world, if that's all you've got, then that's all it takes for you to lose everything. But not if you seek God's kingdom. God's kingdom is a kingdom that will last. We are to seek it because the treasure that we have there cannot be taken away. Looking at the verses that come next, provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. No contrast could be greater than that between what lasts and what does not. We are used to everything we know being temporary. Life is change. Everything ends. But not God's kingdom. Seek that, and you will find the one thing in life that you can actually bank on in the long run. Because that will last. So you don't need to worry about food and about clothes. If you're seeking what is much more important, if you are a part of the kingdom that is going to last, then God will make sure that you have those things in the meantime. In this short life, he will sustain you as long as you need to be here in order to be a part of that kingdom in the long run. Imagine a billionaire. And he has a child who he loves. This billionaire has a son. And he's training this son to run the family business. He wants to make sure that this son is going to be able to look after the accounts and look after all of the different businesses that he owns, so that when he goes, the son will be able to take over. And so that the son spends all of his time being shown how these different things work. He takes him to all the factories or whatever it is that he owns, and he shows them this is what happens, and we need to buy from here, and we need to sell things to this person, and this is how much we charge for this, and this is how much we make sure that we're spending on that. And this is what the child spends all of his time doing, getting to know the important business connections. And the child is really busy doing all of that. Do you think that while he's doing these things, the child's going to worry that he's not going to have enough food? Do you think that his father's going to let him go without meals or walk around in scruffy clothes while he's teaching him to run the family business? And how much richer is our father than any billionaire? And how much more loving to his children? If we are part of a kingdom that will last, then while we are being trained for that, God will make sure that we have what we need. Seek your Father's kingdom, and he will worry about the things that you need. So, some closing thoughts. Is God your Father? Everything that I've said is dependent on the fact that God is your Father. That's when you don't need to worry. If he's not, then you need to change that. What we've talked about today is not for everyone. Jesus says this to his disciples in verse 22. Is that you? If God is not your Father, why would you not want him to be? We've thought about what a great Father he is. Most generous of all, above all of his gifts that God gives to his children and the ways that God keeps the world alive, most generous of all, God gave Jesus so that he could become your Father. God gave his one Son and was willing to sacrifice him to death so that we could become his children. We could be called children of God. If God is not your Father, then you need to change that state right away. God has given his Son so that you can be his child, so that you can call him Father. Look at all the great benefits that are there for children of God. Look at the guarantees that you have in life. If God is not your Father, then you've got no reason not to worry. You've got nothing greater and beyond that you can focus on and know that the things of life are guaranteed. Nothing in life is certain. You need to make sure that God is your Father, that you are seeking the kingdom of God. And then you'll know that you're okay in the long run. So if God is not your Father, you need to change that right away. But if God is your Father, and this sermon has primarily been for people who are believers, for whom God is your Father. If God is your Father, then do you live like it? Do you spend your time worrying about earthly things, Are you preoccupied with sustaining yourself, filling your stomach, worrying about the contents of your wardrobe, what you will wear, with employment, with education? Are you overly concerned with life? Make sure that you are seeking your Father's kingdom. Make sure that that is what you are concerned with. Because if that's what you're concerned with, why worry about the rest? Now, of course, none of this means that you will have an easy life. In case it was starting to sound like seeking God's kingdom is easy, living to please God, valuing what God thinks about above valuing what the world thinks, is not simple. But that's the thing that you should worry about, doing that. As for the rest, God will look after the rest. You have your mission. So, if after this sermon, you find yourself starting to worry, remind yourself of these five things. The ravens, the flowers, how little you can do by worrying, the fact that your Father knows what you need, and the fact that he cares, and the fact that there is so much more to life than food and clothes.